Welcome to the NewsHour. Caribbean islands have suffered terrible devastation in the wake of Hurricane Melissa. The death toll is in flux, but initial estimates show the storm has killed dozens across Haiti and Jamaica.
Melissa is one of the strongest storms the region has ever seen, leaving widespread destruction in multiple Caribbean nations. The hurricane landed first on Jamaica yesterday as a Category 5 storm.
It was the strongest storm to ever hit Jamaica, leaving streets submerged, homes destroyed, and 77% of the island without power.
A lot of my friends' house is gone. Nice home.
In the fishing village of Alligator Pond, residents like Dennis Elliott began to piece back together their lives.
You gotta pick up your tools in your hand. The claw bar and the hammer, the machete, the spade, and move on to the future, same way, hoping for never to see a storm like this again.
It was terrible. I'm 54 and I witnessed about three dangerous storms. This one was worse. It was terrible. The wind, it was violent. It was terrible.
Despite the devastation, Alvin English says this agricultural area, Jamaica's so-called breadbasket, will survive.
And we go down, we come back up. We go down, we come back up.
But Dennis Zulu, United Nations coordinator for the region, warned of long-term consequences.
Not only will food crops and fields destroyed, but we'll also see a possibility, a very likely possibility, that Jamaica will have some issues in terms of food security for the coming months. What we are seeing in preliminary assessments is a country that's been devastated to levels never seen before.
Melissa made landfall as a Category 5 hurricane on the southern coast of Jamaica Tuesday morning. Early Wednesday, the storm hit Cuba as a Category 3, weakening to Category 2 as it churned across the island, headed to Haiti and Turks and Caicos. Melissa is expected to reach the Bahamas later today before moving towards Bermuda and into the Atlantic. Before the storm hit Cuba, over 700,000 people took shelter, and just a brave few ventured out today to witness the storm for themselves.
It was hell all night. The winds have been terrible.
Even as a Category 3 storm, Melissa has wreaked havoc, ripping the roof from Antonio Corioso's home in Santiago de Cuba.
The impact was brutal. First, there was a strange calm, then suddenly it roared like a wild beast. I had to run for cover. There was nothing I could do.
Haiti was spared a direct hit, but one coastal mayor said people were killed in floods after a river burst its banks. Residents in the already impoverished nation now do their best to stay dry, like Francine Louis-Jean.
I am living with the kids. I have nothing to give them. We wake up in the water. We sleep in the water.
Secretary of State Marco Rubio posted online that the U.S. sent supplies, rescue, and response teams to the affected areas. But for many in the region, help may come too little and too late.
And to get the latest on the ongoing rescue and relief efforts, we turn now to Brian Bogart. He's the World Food Program Country Director for Caribbean Operations, and he joins us now from Jamaica's capital of Kingston. Brian, welcome and thank you for being with us. What can you tell us about what you're seeing on the ground where you are in Kingston, and also what you're hearing about the extent of the damage on the rest of the island?
Sure. I've just seen some of the first images coming through from an aerial survey that has flown over the parish of St. Elizabeth in southwest Jamaica, where Hurricane Melissa made landfall as a Category 5 with winds that were exceeding 175 miles per hour. It looks absolutely devastating. And this is the first imagery that has allowed me to really grasp the extent of the damage. Destruction is what I should say. And we have teams on the ground right now who are trying to make contact with these communities, trying to understand what the logistics network looks like and how we can access those communities through roads that are viable, what's being cleared, where bridges may be washed out. And that's really the ultimate priority, in addition to search and rescue, which is also taking place simultaneously.
Brian, Jamaica and the area have seen hurricanes before, for sure. Is there any way to compare this storm to storms of the past?
Sadly, this area of St. Elizabeth, I was there almost a year ago because Hurricane Beryl, which is a Category 4 storm, hit that same part of the country and devastated it. And this is an area that is a coastal community with lots of people who are fishermen, fisher folk, and it's also the agricultural heartbed of the country. So it's sad to say it's much worse than last year. But last year was extremely damaging to those communities as well. So people will have invested in reconstructing their homes and trying to get back on their feet. And a year later, an even more devastating system has passed through their communities. It's heartbreaking, and there's no other way to describe it.
And you just heard a UN official in our report there mention there could be long-term consequences when it comes to food instability, and particularly because of the agricultural areas that were hit. I know WFP had been warning about funding being tight going into these storms. Do you have the resources that you need to see through long-term support for Jamaica and the region?
And I think your point is absolutely valid. We are very much in need of resources to be able to stand up the immediate response. But in a situation like this, where communities are completely devastated and the agricultural potential of the country is being undermined, we need to have a longer-term perspective on food security, both to meet people's immediate needs for food today, but also to invest in those communities to get them back on their feet and able to produce for the rest of the country, really.
Meanwhile, in terms of immediate needs, we heard our Secretary Rubio say that the U.S. is sending relief teams. What can you tell us about the coordination between your organization and the American official efforts? And what else is desperately needed right now on the ground?
I mean, we've always coordinated extremely well with our partners in the government of the United States, and we continue to count on their support, their leadership, to help us respond to crises like this. And we're in constant communication. We are enjoying incredibly close collaboration and very much look forward to responding to this crisis together. And what's really critical for us now is to be able to move supplies, not only food, but also shelter, water and sanitation equipment, and logistics assets, really, mobile warehousing, forklifts, generators, the kinds of equipment that we need to substitute for existing infrastructure that's been destroyed so we can actually surge support into these communities. And really, we're talking about saving lives, and it's absolutely urgent that we're able to do so. So we need transport capability. We are working with aviation sector partners. We're working with private sector partners from the shipping industry, and anyone who's able to offer support at this time to deliver life-saving support to the people of Jamaica.
All right, that is Brian Bogart, the World Food Program, joining us from Kingston, Jamaica tonight. Brian, thank you so much. We're sending all our best wishes to you and your team.
Thank you. Thank you very much.